tubbed up rice. I've had a right enough of you and your Dawsons.
Oh, she sells seashells down at the Michael Barrymore.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
I parked it up the Khyber Pass!
Liberace!
Can you wear them and leave it with Rob Bollocks?
Welcome to Can You Adam and Eve? Hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very excited, actually.
We've got a guest in the studio with us.
We certainly have.
I would like to introduce you to Maya Lynch. Hey, Maya, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
How would you describe yourself, sort of career-wise? You know, do you describe yourself as a adventurer or a writer?
A little bit of a random, really. You know, I mean, nowadays I'm a writer. After I sold a couple hundred books, I thought, yeah, I can call myself a writer.
Hey. You know? Yeah. That's pretty good. So, and you live here in New Zealand?
Yeah, I've lived here for about 15 years and love it. Live out in
Never
Waitax.
Thought so, would you? Me and you just flew in last week.
you people with your accents. But, you know. Now, a wee while ago, I got a text message from a friend of yours who said a friend of mine's written the book you should read. I got a copy of the book and then I passed it over to Rob.
Yeah.
And we both lost our minds over it.
Yeah. Spun. Still spinning.
And the book is called The Samoan Pyramid. Okay. So there you go.
Thanks.
Let's just leave it at that. Rob, you have any questions?
Well, yeah, I do. It's obviously like when I read the book and listened to an interview you did afterwards with an American geezer, we'll call him, and you said someone gave you the idea and you wrote it on a post-it note, then put it on your fridge.
Yeah.
And then just, it drove you mad.
That was it. It just kind of, I was doing my normal day job, which was working as a strategist, and I had this post-it note on my monitor, it was, on my computer, and it just said, there's a pyramid in Samoa, and no one knows who built it. And that just kind of goaded me for weeks and weeks and weeks until eventually I turned to the guy I was working next to, and I just said, oh, fuck this, I've had enough, I'm off.
And you're off to Samoa.
And that was it, and went off to Samoa in search for this kind of lost, forgotten pyramid, you know. And
how long ago was this?
It was 2012. Yeah, I
so
went in
recently. Yeah.
Well, wow. Recent-ish. Yeah, and yeah. Then I had no plan to write a book about it or anything at the time. I was just going to go.
What do you mean? If it's something no one knew about, and then you discovered. I mean,
it wasn't a book.
You knew you were writing a book about it subconsciously before you even left. Surely.
Yeah, maybe subconsciously. You know what I mean? Maybe it was like a kind of. You know, event horizon, you know what I mean, that was kind of touching. But I genuinely thought, I'll go there, I'll get Samoa, I'll book a bus tour, it'll take me to the pyramid, and then I'll spend the rest of the time on the beach, you know. And I got there and found out that, number one, you're not allowed to go, number two, nobody really knows about it. It was a lot more difficult to find this place than I thought it was going to be. And so, that's kind of maybe what made me think, oh, there's a book in this.
So when you first went to the island, the beautiful island of Samoa, and it's in which part of the islands is it in?
It's in Savai, in the middle of Savai. Like if you go there, there's a kind of.
For people like myself who don't really know the setup of the islands over there, how does that relate to?
So Savai is the kind of bigger, quieter island. It's the kind of the really laid back one. Like you fly into Apollo. And Apia's there on that island, and then you have to get a ferry across to Savai, and then when you get there, it's just like even slower than the main island, if you can believe that.
How populated?
I'm not sure. Not massive. Like everybody just lives kind of on the coast road around the outside of the island, and in the middle's a big volcano, and Pulemelei, this pyramid, is on that volcano.
It's on the volcano.
In the middle of the jungle. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not only that as well. It's like there's civilization. There's roads there and all that. It's not like there's a pyramid in the middle of the.
So just everybody. I'm just letting the sands fall as they fall. Yeah. So you hear about this pyramid that exists in Samoa. Well, there's plenty of Samoans in New Zealand. You know, it's like. It wouldn't be hard. Did you ask around first before you went over there?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know anyone that lives near the pyramid or something like that? Pyramid tours?
Nobody knew anything. Like, literally, I'd ask people and they'd never heard of it. And like where I live is a Samoan neighbourhood out west, and I asked all my neighbours and nobody knew about it. And everyone was trying to be real helpful, you know. Yeah. So I'll ask my grandparents, I'll phone home, I'll try and find out. And then they'd phone home and come around and say, you can't go there. You know,
so is the thing. So everyone's really helpful to a point.
But they don't know, I suppose. They don't know.
Well, no, but this is mean. But then to a point, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
excuse
yeah.
that pyramidical part. Oh,
yeah, sorry, that went over the top of my head. That.
Yeah, but so something I found out when I got there was that the pyramid's tapu, and that's...
Ah!
Yeah, that's like...
Fine for us piling to sit around and chatter about it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, we are, so too bad. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I know. And so you're not supposed to go there. And when archaeologists went, there was an archaeological dig in the early 2000s. When the archaeologists went, they actually had a big ceremony and lifted the tapu while those guys were there and then reinstated
just
it when
when
they left.
The Heyerdahl Foundation, which is a European sort of privately funded foundation,
yeah.
isn't it? Yeah. And and when they went, it was just you say 2000. It was kind of an extraordinary situation because they didn't really look into the bits that you they'd look into. Is that right?
Well, there was a dig that went from University of Auckland in '63. It was like one of the first modern archaeological digs in the world, and it went from University of Auckland, and they just came back totally confused by it, you know, and they didn't really know what was going on. They mapped the place and they mapped the whole of Samoa, but they just came back. It didn't tell the story that they thought it would tell. And so even when that work was published, it starts with an apology. There's like, there's lots of data in here, but none of it makes sense.
Right, so is the pyramids like all sketched up on that?
There's a plan on it, but the guy that drew it, Stuart Scott, he got quite criticised for his plan because nobody really believed his map was accurate.
Jesus,
yeah.
It's frustrating.
And then
this is why I went straight to DJing.
And then when the Heyerdahl Foundation went, they were there just to gather information. So they just gathered a whole bunch of data, measured it. They dug down. They figured out how it was constructed. So it was a massive piece of work, you know. And they found that it's built on top of aquifers, on top of...
Stop it.
Which is like aquifers is underground running water. And all pyramids have that. Like in Egypt and South America.
Really cool. Before you started dabbling with the Samoan pyramid, did you have you've dabbled with pyramids before? You're part of the pyramid crowd?
This is a really crazy story, right? So what happened was in 2011, prior to that, I had no interest.
I didn't think it was going to be a boring story.
I had no interest in anything like that, pyramids, all that, none of that. And the swine flu was knocking around, and I got the swine flu.
Oh, the bloody swine flu.
I know. Yeah. And then I had a fever, and in that fever, I had this bonkers dream about going to Egypt, and I'd had no interest about going to Egypt before that. And I kind of came out of that fever, and my brother, who was Egypt daft and alien daft and all that kind of stuff, I phoned him up, and off we went to Egypt, you know? And then the first pyramid I went in, I met this really interesting guy, this Egyptian guy, Yusuf Awiyan, and... it was in the Red Pyramid, and he kind of called me over and said, come here. He's a young guy, like your age, and he kind of called me over and he just started humming, like real quiet, you know, we're in this, and just real quiet hum. And then the whole thing starts to shit, like, the whole thing starts to resonate with his, I know.
Wow!
So I'm like, I'm hanging out with this guy for the rest of my trip, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
So he was the one that first, because he lives right in front of the Sphinx, you know, like you on his balcony, you look out and the Sphinx is right there. Yeah, faces the Sphinx, you know.
Good morning.
So that was kind of where he grew up, was on the Giza Plateau. So he took me all around and showed me.
Some just dude you bumped into.
Yeah, yeah, and it turned out to be like a really awesome guy, you know. And
we're all gonna have to go out on a field trip, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then because his dad was his dad used to be a guide, all the guides on the plateau know Yusuf, so you can go places that nobody else can go when you go with him. Like, you literally... The guards see you coming, and they lift up the barbed wire and under you go. And like, we went down into...
what a titty turn of events!
Yeah, so...
So that got you pretty much into pyramids.
That was like a kind of two-month, you know... Quick course,
masterclass, you know? In pyramids, and so that's when you realise that all pyramids in the world, almost all, are built over, or all.
all that they know of. You know? If they don't have, like, if it's not a natural aquifer, then they've built an aquifer. They've built a man-made water flow going underneath.
See, that is... until I read your book, I didn't realise that. And I've been trying to read
that's up. That's to make it all magnetised, isn't it?
Well, apparently so.
Well, yeah, the thing about...
How did they know that? I mean, it's 2017 and I only just realised that. I'm not really clever. But how did they know that 2,000-3,000 years ago?
This is the thing, Rob. And also the alignment of where all these things are worldwide is quite sort of, you can laugh it off all you like, but it's actually so precise and stunningly it fits a certain pattern that it's really quite outstanding.
Yeah, I definitely don't think we can think about pyramids as tombs anymore.
This pyramid in Samoa's got nothing inside it, whereas like the ones in Egypt and all that, they got
spaces built inside. Now, the one in Samoa, we haven't actually talked about the size of it or what it was like when you came across it. Should we talk about that while we've still got time?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you basically had to on foot hunt this thing down, and it's not inaccessible, is it? But it's just no one wants to take you there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think you used to be able to go, and there's even a Lonely Planet has an entry about this pyramid. I really thought it was going to be easy to get to.
Yeah.
But it's when you get there and you realise that all the internet pages are out of date.
You assumed it was going to be kind of underwhelming, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I'd go for a day trip and that would be it.
Yeah, and you go, I don't even know why I came over, sort of thing. You know,
good excuse for the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
But it turned out to be much more difficult, and I spent most of the week just trying to find someone that knew what I was talking about, and then eventually found this guy, Baba, and his sister agreed on his behalf that he'd take me, and off we went into the jungle.
As one of the people who knew you before you met him, described him as McRapey.
Yes, yes, yes. When you were swimming,
poor lad, because he's not like that at all. You know
really
what I mean?
Nice geezer.
But he was kind of watching when we were all swimming. You know what I mean? So that was a little.
It wasn't just this cool, interesting dude. It was a guy that other people were going, don't go with him.
He's a bit weird.
Yeah. You guys are out in the bush somewhere, and you come across a guy with an AK-47.
Yeah, well, he just popped out of the place. So,
he just popped out of the place. That's what happened. Just to keep the story interesting, yeah.
But it turned out that it's not it's illegal to go there now. And so they post armed guards to keep people away.
I wonder how many other places in Samoa have posters armed guards in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought that was one of the weirdest parts of the whole thing.
I wonder if I was doing something else there that's slightly dodgy.
I've wondered that myself. I wondered if there was a little kind of...
growing weed there or coca leaves or something.
I wondered if there was something else going on as well, but...
distilling your own tea?
Yeah.
Know?
So we're on our way to the pyramid, going through the jungle, and
as you do, yeah.
Yeah, and there's an ancient abandoned city. Now the archaeologists know that they've calculated that the size of the city and the amount of kind of agriculture and everything around it, they reckon that the population was 50,000 people at one time, and when the missionaries turned up in Samoa, they said there was 50,000 people living around the outside, but the archaeologists say it's an additional 50,000. It's not the same 50,000. It's an additional 50,000. Anyway, so we go through this. So there's this incredible old ancient abandoned city that you walk through, which is like the size of Manhattan. It's enormous, you know. And you walk through that, and then...
And it's just abandoned. There's nothing. Just no one. Nothing. No one's got any use for it.
It's all overgrown with the jungle, and you know. And there's
how do you
like,
feel when you're walking through? How that part of, but when you sort of come, that must have been pretty mind blowing.
Yeah, it was totally mind blowing. It's like you're on cobbled streets that are, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of years old. You know, and
bus stops, all sorts. Who's driving about?
Yeah, and it's there, but nobody's talking about it. And that's the thing that blows my mind. It's there, but nobody knows about it. And it's in the backyard. It's only in Samoa.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People in Savai don't talk about it. You know.
So there you are. You come and you're amongst all that, and then you finally come to the to the pyramid itself, which is how? I mean, what are we talking? 100 meters by 100 meters?
It's 65 meters by 65. So if you imagine a football field, it's half the size of a football field, and then. So that Vodafone building downtown, the kind of size, it's roughly that size. You know?
Wow. And it's made of solid basalt stone blocks.
Yeah. And they're quite, it's not, it's not.
Come on, Sarah, I can see you. Nothing left, eh?
It's not precision cut like the Great Pyramid at Giza or anything like that, but it has some really interesting, like it's aligned to the cardinal direction. So up the eastern side, there's this kind of ramp, stairway ramp thing that goes up that's aligned to the rising sun on the equinox.
Come on, this is what I mean. Yeah. What?
And on the west, on the western side, it's aligned to the setting sun. And then surrounding the whole thing is this fitted floor that fits together like in a jigsaw puzzle. So every block has been cut to fit perfectly with the block next to it. And that's something...
You know, like all over some... Oh, what?
Yeah. And that's something that every pyramid I've seen has.
Yeah.
Surrounding it, they have this interlocking jigsaw.
Well, the alignment thing for a start, and the just the whole... geometric assemblement of something. And but it's also you mentioned in the book that it's more like the pyramids of Mexico as opposed to the pyramids of Egypt.
It looks like that. So it's a step pyramid with a flat top, and then so that's the main
step pyramid with a flat top.
Yeah, so that's the main pyramid, and then about 50 meters to the north there's a smaller pyramid, and connecting the two is this stone walkway, this raised walkway that connects the two. And then
exactly, Rob. Exactly.
Yeah, and then streets and causeways and everything going off into the jungle in every direction.
Right.
Which is all, I mean, the pyramid itself is all overgrown now, you know. It's a proper bizarre thing to look at. It's just been abandoned, you know. And there's a tree growing out the top of it and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Ha! Ha! Have you ever seen that movie, Tree of Life? That's an element movie. There's a tree right out of that pyramid. That's a plastic pyramid.
I'm actually sort of thinking about it, really, just as well that they said no one should go there and have a look at it, and it is a mystery. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because otherwise it'd just be ruined.
And
Maya, you said that when you were there and you spent a bit of time there, you didn't feel good at all. It made you feel a bit creepy.
Yeah, something weird happened. So when I was on top of the pyramid walking around, I started getting these...
What was the first sort of thing? You didn't text anyone or anything? Did you do a yoo-hoo?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Jumped around and screaming and, we made it. It was gobsmacking, you know?
Yeah.
And stunned by it, you know, absolutely. The whole thing is overwhelming because you just arrive out of the jungle at the base of this pyramid and you can't see anything else, you know? But... So when we ran up to the top and we're, you know, I'm jumping around and then walking around trying to take some measurements and check the alignment and everything, I started to get that it was really strange. Like, you know, like in old photographs, you get a light every now and again, you get a light leak and you get an orange
like a flare,
flash
lens coming. Flare
yeah,
sort of
yeah,
thing.
Lens flare, yeah. So that, but like rapid, like orange and purple and orange and purple, and I started feeling really weird and couldn't really, you know, my breathing was all wrong And so, I mean, horrific. I had this kind of the feeling of impending doom, you know, kind of overwhelmed me. And after a couple of hours of just feeling worse and worse and worse and worse, I had to say to my, you know, to Baba, let's boost. I cannot take this anymore. You know, because I really thought I was going to die. I literally thought there was something.
So what do you put that down to?
Well, that started a whole new line of research of like what on earth caused that, and. What I found out was that in 2000, after excavation had been banned on the pyramid and everything, after the Thor Heyerdahl Foundation, these guys, Clark and de Beiran, went there and used a GPRS to measure electromagnetism on the site. And what they discovered at the point where the pyramid meets the ground, there's this thing called a reverse polarity.
So let's just make sure you listen to this bit very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rob.
Yeah.
So what they found was this reverse polarity, and if you've ever held two magnets and tried to push them together and they push apart, that's a reverse polarity. So they found that where the pyramid meets the ground, at the level of its molecules, the pyramid floats.
I've got to leave the studio now. Stick my head down the toilet.
That's bonkers.
Okay. Just to recap, so that it's so what's basically happening? You're saying that at a very very that the, so it's sitting flat on the ground. You can't lift it up.
Or push it.
Can you?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think so. Molecularly, it's floating. It be floating there. Okay, so there. So once again, Maya, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Pleasure.
That's
thanks for having me.
God knows how we're going to top this story, Rob. But I'd love to know more about this. Yeah. I really do. I just I'm fascinated by it. I think it's, and I think do people care?
Oh yeah, it's gone nuts. It's the number one archaeology book in America.
Really?
It's gone nuts. So
thanks to BFM.
Yeah, thanks to BFM. Yeah. You know, it's not really out in New Zealand yet, but it will be in the new year. But in the meantime, if you go on my website, Maya Lynch, MayaLynch.com, and sign up for the newsletter, you'll get a whole bunch of information about it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And how are you finding being the number one archaeological book in America?
No, it's
at the moment.
Same as it was when it wasn't.
who did you topple? Who was number one and you toppled them?
It was Graham Hancock.
Oh, and was it? Oh, yeah. No, was it really? You knocked off Graham Hancock?
Yeah. And
sit down.
And then another great book called Against the Grain, which is amazing. It's all about how civilization formed and how we've kind of devolved from what we used to be. It's incredible.
Against the Grain.
Against the Grain. Okay, you got to read that.
Okay, yeah. That's next for me. Yeah. Hey, Maya, thank you so much, Graham. Maya Lynch is out. Has been our guest for Can You Adam and Eve this morning, and talking about the Samoan pyramid, which is you know where Samoa is. Well, it's in there. And then your first visit was when? 2012. And do you think you'll go back?
Oh yeah, I've been back and I'll definitely go back. I love Samoa.
And they're cool about it, because I mean, here we have just spent half an hour talking about a tapu location in
Mixed.
Samoa. Mixed, yeah.
Hey,
well, you know, I mean, you can only hide things for so long, can't you?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, thank you so much,
Maya. So
lovely
thank
to meet you. Thanks very much for sharing that with us. Cheers.
Thanks a lot.
Please come back.
Come back all the time.
Can you Adam and Eva with Rob Bullocks?
She's undone her sea monster chain.
Thank you very much, my son.